Man, I love that. That idea that this is how we fight our battles, right? And even at times when you feel like you're surrounded, the reality is the only thing surrounding you is the Lord, His presence. His presence in front of you, His presence behind you, His presence around you, above you, below you, and in you. Like, that's really good news. Right? So if you weren't here on Thursday, we tried something a little different. So Jackie and Sandy and Josh and everyone else who's been praying about this and put a little time putting a song list together, we had a worship night, kind of a praise and worship night. And I think we brought Bibles and journals, and before long it was just pure praise. And we just saw that this was how we can fight our battles. And I don't care who you are, if you just came out from underneath a rock that you've been under for about 6 months, and maybe you don't realize this, but things are crazy right now, and there's a lot of struggle and strife and stress and concern, even for a Christian who knows eternally that something's happening, but what do you do right now? And what a great reminder that this is how we fight our battle. So I'm glad that we're here together today. And I just want to pray this, even though Ross simply prayed, just Jesus, I pray that this would help. That this time we have together where we talk about what you've wrote in your scripture, Lord, that was recorded, the things you told man, the things that you said, Lord, when you were on earth, but also what you've spoke to my heart. But none of that will matter at all unless you speak to the hearts of the people here. And so, Jesus, we just surrender our plans on our agendas. As pastor of this church and whatever authority that would give me, I just say that this is a time and a place, Holy Spirit, where you can be in our presence. For those believers in which you live in, that you'll well up and you'll speak to us and you'll counsel us and comfort us and teach us and remind us of all the things that Jesus has said, and that all the people who follow Jesus, what they said, what God told them and their experiences, as well as the disciples of today, all of us, Lord, that you'd use all of that to be made big, to be shown to be worthy. So I want it to be good. I want it to help. So Jesus, take any words that I would say. May they be from you, and might they help everyone here. I pray that, Jesus, in your power, in your authority, in your name. Amen. So the best plans that we have, right? You guys, we make plans. So this is our habit. Our habit here is we take a book of the Bible and we go through that. Now there's a brainiac word called exposition. I don't necessarily do that, but out of that scripture, usually the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will well up some kind of topic for me. And so I did like I normally do. I went to the Bible. And I actually opened my Bible, and I was looking at the next section of Scripture. And we're here in Colossians, is the book that we're going through now. And so we came to Colossians 2, verse 6, and here's what it says. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live in Him. Well, I've got to tell you a little bit of the backstory. God's been working a lot in my life and in the life of my family. So I would say this with my kids, but definitely my wife Brandy and I. We're changing, right? We're learning and we're growing, and I'm grateful for that. And sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's wonderful. But we are changing and learning and growing, and God has put on our hearts, I want you to minister from and love from what you're learning, not from your limitations, but from where you're growing and learning. And whatever I'm showing you, would you share with other people? So there's been this idea that's on my heart. And before I could go any further with this scripture, this stuck out to me, okay? Paul keeps telling these early believers in Colossae, right? He's telling them, guys, don't get this twisted in your mind, because if you see it wrong, it's going to throw everything else off. Know this, that everything down to wisdom and knowledge. You might think it's an academic challenge and adventure, but really where all of that is coming from is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all power, all knowledge, all wisdom. Everything that you need comes from him. And if we don't start there, first of all, we can't move on to more complex things because we have a wrong foundation. So this is what stood out to me. Colossians 2, the part I've made some of it small and some of it large. So here's the large part. Received Christ Jesus as Lord. Once again, it's not something you get. Not I found, or I got Jesus as Lord, or I earned Jesus as Lord, or I studied Jesus until he became my Lord. No, I received Jesus as my Lord. And then I continue to live your lives in him. And for me, it really lined up with this idea that God has continually laid on my heart through the Holy Spirit, and that is, I believe that Jesus wants us to slow down. Oh no, Corey, here's Will going to go again, right? He's going to tell us to like quit your jobs and live in a tent or something, right? No. Some of you are like, yes, please, and some of you are like, no, dear God. Make it a motorhome, give you a little more room than a tent. Know this about me, if you don't know me, slowing down is actually pretty counter to how I'm put together. I tend to want to achieve and go and build and do things. But the Lord has put this in front of me, put this in my life, and he's given me a precious gift, and I call her Brandy, that's her name. And she's much better at this and more aware of the pace of life and kind of the flow of her inner life, right? Like needing to rest instead of just like rest. Why rest when we have caffeine and sugar? We can do that instead, right? Yeah, right. We'll rest when we're dead. That those type of adages would tend to describe me more, where as opposed to, I could sure use a nap right now. That would feel good. Like, there's different camps here, but here's what God is putting on my heart. So I believe that God wants us to slow down, and he's asked me to share this with you. So this is my opinion. I'm not going to read from some made-up scripture that says thou shalt slow down and not go so fast, okay? However, I want to make a biblical case, and I want to present this to you today. So I believe he wants us to make some changes that will create space and stillness in our life. I'm learning that this pace of life that we're living, it's destructive. It's destructive to our bodies. I mean, hey, anyone in the medical profession, aren't they finding again and again there's a relation between your emotional health and your physical health? We're observing a truth that God built and knew. And so we deal with that. It's destructive for our bodies, our emotional well-being, and spiritual connectivity. And I think we were designed to live a far different life. Now look at this example, okay? So bear with me, because I want to give you a biblical evidence. Who's the guy that we're looking to figure out how to live? Jesus. The church answer worked this time, so this is really good. Jesus is the guy that you and I, the idea of being a Christian, being like Christ, right? We want to see what he did. And what's fascinating, if you start reading through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus at what would be, to a driven guy like me, an inopportune time. He will just go away. Luke 5 is one of these situations. There's people who have come, and they need to be healed, they need to be taught, they need to be rescued, and the people pleaser in me is like, let's get it, right? The person who wants to please and serve and do, you just, okay, we'll just pound a Monster energy drink, 5-hour energy, and get her done. But this is what Jesus, and it doesn't say he just did it this time. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So you see a pattern in Jesus's life. He knew when to offer and when to do, and then he knew when to withdraw and to be still and to pray. When I'm saying that to you, have you seen that when you've looked through Jesus's life? Yeah, no? No, you're crazy, Will? What translation are you reading? Because my Bible doesn't say that. Or yes? Okay, let's do this together. Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. So Jesus did that. Now, why now talk about this? Fact. We've been forced to slow down in response to a viral outbreak. Talked about it kind of in the midweek video. Fascinating to me how easy it was to shut us all down. Right? As high on our horse as we've got, as overconfident as we've got, as big as our Tower of Babel has got, where we have built enough concrete that we don't even see the sky anymore. We've forgotten God is there. But watch this. Virus, come through, fear, media, sickness, death, whatever combination you believe is at play, all those things work beautifully together and literally shut down the world. Did that happen? Okay. Please don't just take my word for it. I want to make sure that we're together on this. Were you forced to stay home at some level? I mean, here we were pretty fortunate, right? Guys, did your parents at one point in time tell you, no, you can't go there? Yeah. Or school said, you're going to have to do this online, but we really don't have online, so this should be fun. Okay. Adults, you did that weird, I'm scared to death dance at the grocery store. Like, I've got to buy some groceries, but I might be buying the Black Plague. I'm not quite sure what's going on. And then do you wear the mask or do you not wear the mask? And 3.5 hours to wipe down your groceries that took you 40 minutes to buy and with transportation. Here's the question for you. How has that affected you? This idea of having to stay home, of having to slow down.
Boredom.
Okay. Yeah, and please speak up. I really want your answers. How has it affected you? Will you say something, Chris? Your mouth was ready. I wasn't sure if you were going to say something. Here you can just speak it up, holler it out.
Forced slowing down.
Forced slowing down. So?
Being annoyed.
Annoyed? Annoyed is a very, I've seen that annoyed a lot, right? Isolated.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it. Yeah. A lot closer to your kids and your wife, yeah.
How about aggravated? Aggravated
is a good one.
Like reevaluate things.
To reevaluate, so it gave you time to reevaluate things, yeah.
We're retired, so my life did not change.
See? That's a fair, she said because she was retired, her life really didn't change a lot. She couldn't, you know.
And it's good.
And it's
yeah.
good. It's good because you can talk to God a lot. Yeah. Yeah. And you had all these interesting, if you watch people, like I like to, you know, and I would still go out and meet certain people and how aggravated they were. And you'd kind of smile a little bit. I did this walking around the grocery store. I just had the biggest smile on my face when people were freaking out. And you're just kind of like, this is, right? Lois, it sticks with me what you said. Lois said this. Sorry I didn't ask you this, but she had mentioned this. Sometimes a situation's going on, she goes, it's going to be fun to get back and get your popcorn and just watch the show. And I felt a little bit like that in that day. One day I was at the grocery store, I was walking through the bakery, and over here in the deli, this guy, I'm not sure if he literally coughed his lung up out of his body, but he was nearly dying by the counter where you get your meat and cheese. And I was doing the smile thing that I normally do, and then all of a sudden, there was this other lady, and she had a very scared look on her face and no mask so I could see her expression. And then she goes, were you thinking what I was thinking? That's what she said to me. And I'm like, well, if you were thinking how funny it is that everyone overreacts to when people cough right now. So anyway, I had fun with it, you know? So maybe that's my sickness. I need a savior. So I'm hearing a lot of things like, there are some positive things. It caused you to slow down, reevaluate, spend time, you know, with people that you didn't get to spend time with or enough time, kids, family. It was frustrating and aggravating at times and lonely and isolating. Anything I'm missing in there? Yeah. It made you want to stay home because you kept getting yelled at. Right. Right.
And one example of that is I had an opportunity when I saw kids that I had subbed. One of the things they shared is they missed going to school.
And
but when they're in school, you would never hear that.
Right. So what he said here is, it's kind of helped y'all kind of put in my words, tell me if I'm missing it, but he said, you know, being away, you realize the things you took for granted. And then when you can't do those or you can't go there or be part of that, you realize that you're missing it. One example he gave is he was involved as a substitute teacher at the school. And talking to some of the students he subbed for, they were really missing school because they couldn't go. But he imagines, and I think he's right, that if they were going to school, they wouldn't realize they were happy they were going. They would be, I wish I could stay home. Yeah, so, yeah.
I like the 6-foot separation cars. Maybe think about the fact that we don't want to be that far apart.
Okay.
Engaging more people for 6 feet.
The 6 feet. So he mentioned the 6 feet of separation, right? It helped you, make sure I'm saying this right, it helped you to realize that you didn't like being that far apart, that there was, you felt because it was missing, there was this need to be connected and to be close. Okay, so you had to engage in a different way. You engaged normally because there was this physical distance, so it forced you into something. What about feelings? I mean, I guess frustrated could be a feeling. Maybe a little bit scared.
My wife had our son right when COVID happened.
Ooh.
When the quarantine hit, so they wouldn't let me in the hospital with my kids. So I had to wait an hour for our grandparents to drive from Ashford just to get there so I could run in. And by that time, she was already pushing and halfway done.
Oh, jeez.
So I think my wife was extremely terrified bringing a newborn home, let alone going out to get groceries and what if,
yeah,
you know, infants are at risk, so.
Yeah.
So, fear?
He made a point with regards to fear. He and his wife, they had a child during this, a baby, and so there's the dynamic in the hospital where his other kids couldn't come in to the hospital. So here he is, his wife's in labor, he's missing it, waiting for grandparents to come pick up the kids because they can't be there so that he can go in and be with his wife. And he misses part of that. And then the fear of bringing a newborn home. I thought about it at the grocery store. It's like kids are always in their mouth, in their eyes, and like, oh man, the parent. And what do? I mean, you can't just leave your 2-year-old at home while you go grocery shopping. They get upset about that. I don't know, Corey. But yeah, and I think about you guys too, all the families that have the small children. You know, mine, for the most part, you know, keep things out of their mouth now. They're getting older, so that now it's just keeping them down, right? Don't go anywhere. Yeah, so there's all these feelings and these thoughts. But I wonder what Jesus thought about all this. Because in terms of the frustration, in terms of the anger, you know, I realize that sometimes I put my feelings and thoughts on Jesus. Because he's a personal, close God, we tend to minimize him to our level. Like, he's got to be like us, frustrated. You're like, well, wait a second. He's outside time. He knows the way this whole thing ends. He's in control of all things. But you fall into that same kind of way of thinking. So I wonder that. That's one of the questions I really have. I was praying about, man, I wonder what you think about all this, Jesus. Here's what I observe. Current reaction of people. I've heard these words said, but I would put these words in their mouth based on their actions. I can't wait until things are back to normal. I think I might have even said that. Confession time. I might have even said that. But that's the way that we're acting. I wonder if Jesus is feeling like that. I can't wait till things get back to normal. This is just an annoying inconvenience, like some kind of mosquito that you've got to swat away. But then this, I was talking to God about this, right? If everything just went back to the way it was before and we learned nothing, then everything that happened had no purpose. So one of the problems that I believe that we have is a Christian in our life, in our culture, tends to be very little, there's very little difference from the people who don't have that faith, unfortunately. The only difference is you guys are going to waste 2 hours here today, right? And you might have to give money to a church. That's what the world sees. But our lives should be vastly different in such a way it should attract other people to say, they got something that I need. here's something for you. This is what you should have. You should know that there's a God who has a purpose, and he's up to something. So even in the worst circumstances, what you should be thinking, if you want to think positive, okay, you didn't lose control. This is very bad, so something good's going to come from it. Is that a fair conclusion based on what we know? And if you're new or you're contemplating faith, understand this should be one of the hopes of having faith in a relationship with Jesus, is that he's in control. He's not surprised. He's not frustrated. He's not angry. He's not like, I can't wait to get to Chick-fil-A, right? And there's a line for 2 hours. I don't like this. I can't sit down at my favorite restaurant. But we're very frustrated. We're very angry, right? People one day go to the governor's office and they say, you're going to starve our families if you don't open up the economy. And then the next day you watch the news and he opens up the economy and they bring body bags and say, you're going to kill everybody. We are crazy, right? And when I say we, I'm including me, even though I didn't bring the body bags or protest, okay? But I'm not going to point that finger at them necessarily. It's just interesting. If everything just went back to the way it was before, if we didn't learn anything, if nothing changed, then what was the purpose of this? Here's some free bonus content for you, okay? Something I'm learning about God's purposes is they're more about what we're becoming rather than what we're doing. And here's my disclaimer. A lot of what I'm saying, guys, I've been reading a lot of books, talking with a lot of you about this, because this is a topic that's very powerful and important to me. And here's one of the truths that I learned in that process, is this idea that if you're up to something, God, you're trying to make me become something I wasn't before. And in that becoming, it might affect the doing. Like, I might no longer do this thing, but the reason I don't do it is because what I'm becoming. Does that make sense? Where we get it backwards. But God, this is what they did with Jesus. But this is what I'm doing, Jesus, and I'm doing this, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing this. And he said what? He said, you guys are a tomb. On the outside, you're doing all these things to whitewash it so everyone thinks you're together, but on the inside, it's rotten, stinking death because of what you are. So maybe this is a good time for, what if we prayed with our eyes open? You think you could do that? What if we just said right now, Lord, I know that you're up to something, and I don't want to miss it. So if there's a purpose in this, then there's something that you're wanting us to become that we aren't now. Show us, Lord, what this is that you're wanting us to become and how that would affect what we do. Just speak to our hearts, God, as we go, keep going, okay? So God's purposes are more about what you're becoming than what you're doing. I think what Jesus is doing in this hardship is he's offering to save us from ourselves. Here's a Bible verse for you. You might know this one. Psalms 46, 10 through 11. And there are so many of these. Here's you want to know what's going on inside of me, this tug, because there's so much information I want to give you, but you can't sit there long enough to take it all in, and I don't think I could explain it. But if you start searching through the Psalms and stuff, you're going to find so much about this rest and this stillness and this slowing down and what it does for you. It's amazing. And a lot of these, right, we think a lot of these were attributed to being written by David. And David was known to be a man after God's own heart. So he's demonstrating and talking to God about the commonality that God's teaching him. And here's one of the Psalms that the smart people tell me that David wrote, okay? And I'm just believing him. Psalms 46, 10 through 11. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I'm God. See, there's something in stillness and in waiting that it grows and it shows our trust and our belief in Jesus. It's like we're saying, okay, Jesus, I know that you're doing something. I know that you have a plan. I know that you're working, so I don't have to. If we want to simplify everything down, what's our biggest problem in our world since Genesis? Was our belief and our struggle to believe. From the very first man and woman, hey, don't eat from this tree, you don't need it. Everything you have is all that you need. I'm going to give you everything that you need. Okay, God, we believe you. And then the serpent comes. He's holding out on you. Don't believe. Believe like 3/4 of what he said, but he's leaving out something. There's more than what God is giving you. Go get it yourself. Fast forward thousands of years later, and now it's the same thing for Will. I don't like where this is, God. Believe me, I got this. It's going to be okay. Seek first my kingdom, and all those things will be added to you after. Okay, God, I believe you, except I want this, so I'm going to go get it. And then you get insanity, which is what we're living in half the time, right? And I'm not saying people who don't have a faith in God, but those who proclaim to be Christians, we're still so stuck in the middle because we have a crisis of belief. And so, and being still, you're actually putting your money where your mouth is, that I do believe. Now, don't take this where I don't want it to be. I'm not saying do nothing. As a matter of fact, you know what? One of the things I've been doing in this quarantine is landscaping, okay? Landscaping. It's in some ways easier than being with people all day, but when I couldn't get into the office, I was doing landscaping, rocks, hurting my back. I got rebar. I'm investing in rebar now, apparently. I might just start a company in red timbers from Home Depot. So, like, yeah, so I'm doing that. It's hard work, but it's rest. And guess why I'm doing it? Because when I got still, that's where God led me to do. I was looking at it. We've talked about that for a long time, right, Brandy? About, well, we need to do something with this area. It's coming together. And he's teaching me so much. It's not even about the landscaping. It's really not about the landscaping. And so when you're resting in God and being still in him, all of you driven people, you're like, shut up, Will. Shut your mouth, because I got work to do. I know you've got businesses, you've got things to do, but there's a way to live in stillness even when you're doing something. And it happens in your obedience to God. And you don't have to be obedient to get him to love you. He already loves you anyway. There's already a provision for you anyway. But you do it to be obedient, because then the full life flows through you when you're obedient. And then you do the landscaping, right? And then you talk to neighbors you haven't talked to before. And then you're showing your kids something, you're getting exercise, you're doing all these things, you know, getting that vitamin D, trying to live less than 93% of my life inside, like most Americans, right? All these good things are happening, but God knows that. So when I'm still and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with whatever it is you have, God, then beauty comes. So why do we slow down? Because in stillness, there's less of us and there's more of Jesus. When we're still, we put ourselves lower, right? Which is the act, really the definition of worship. I get myself lower to acknowledge that you're higher. So all the things I think I need to do, all the plans that I make, I lay down, God, because you're better and higher and you know. We slow down because in stillness there's less of us and more of Jesus. Okay, another Bible verse for you, Matthew 22:37-40. And he said to him, he is Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws of the prophet. Why'd you throw this in here, Will? Guys, this is it. This is what we should be about. They basically asked Jesus, man, they've given us so many laws on how to please God. So many rules, so many do this, don't do that. Jesus, there's got to be a better way. He's like, you want to know the way to live. This is the way to live. You love God with everything you got. With all, and the words are using here, right? Like, so with everything you've got, everything about you, all your creativity, all your personality, all your gifts, all your emotion, all your time, all your love, all your money, you love him. And then once you do that, then you got something to offer. Then what you can do is love your neighbor if you love yourself. Because a lot of us actually do love our neighbors like we love ourselves, which is not at all. I mean, I know most of you think that it's like your spouse that's your worst enemy at times, but it's really you. And so then you begin to treat, eventually you begin to treat the others like you treat yourself. So all that's fine. I've been saying that since I was a kid. Love God with all my heart, all my soul. But I want my life to really be about that. I think if your life was like that, you'd have so much joy beaming out of you that people would want to be where you're at and do what you do. I believe that 100%. But I'm not so sure I know how to love somebody with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. I mean, the best shot I got is I've got Brandy, who I've loved since I was 17, okay? But the love I have for her is imperfect. And then I got the love for my kids as well. And those are the two best pictures I think that I have in my life. You know, you have a love for your parents and your siblings, but when you grow up and get married, you leave and cleave, it says. So it transforms. So you get kind of like the love of the family you come from, the family that God's made for you, and the partner he's made for you. But I'll tell you what, I'm bad at loving all of them. How do you love someone with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? It takes some time, don't you think, Jackie? Like Brandy. I mean, you guys see that she's beautiful. Right? You see that, but man, you don't know, you didn't see when she held her baby for the first time. Like I did. Or when she cries. She's had some loss, you know? So if I see her cry, like how blue her eyes can be like the sky. Or when she joke dances in the car. Like, these are things. It took me time, and I had to notice them. And all of those things make me love her more, right? In Jordan, man, I don't know if there's many more sweeter people that love others so much. And she'll just, like, give you that. She has this way to give you that, just the touch or the encouragement at the right time. And Tyler, man, he's quiet about it, but he loves so deeply at times. He'll just be like, oh, man, just disturbed for other people, heartbroken for them. He's so compassionate in that way. And Johnny, he'll play it cool, you know, but the dude's funny as can be, first of all. It just makes you love him more. But then in the minute, then he'll come up with the most tender, like, loving thing, and you're just blown away by all four of these people I live with. But it took time, and it took me noticing. And that helps, right? I mean, ultimately, what I have to do is make a choice. Because I know not everyone here, right, is going to have the same values and desires for people that they love. But at some point, you make a choice to love someone, and then you invest the time to do that. That's just my simple mind that might help. So I think another reason why we have to slow down is if we want to grow in our love for Jesus, it takes time to know and love someone. Man, what do you guys love about Jesus? What's that? Unconditional love, yeah.
Keeps us in line.
Keeps you in line? Okay, what about, those are all great answers. What other answers? Something intimate, maybe? He doesn't change? What's that? That he died for you besides?
He's always there for
you. He's always there for you. No, what, I'm sorry? No preconditions for his love. Guys, those are all really good answers, but actually, can I tell you what I'm looking for? Something more personal. I love Brandy because she's this is true, okay? This is really true, and maybe you said that in a personal way. I don't mean to hit that, but what I'm saying, to knock that down, what I'm saying is I should be like, wow, I love Jesus because, like, when my mom died, I swear he was, like, right there holding me. Do you see the difference? Jesus died for my sins. No, I love Jesus because, like, I used to do crack, and he saved me. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't have to be that, but it's got to be personal. That's what takes the time. Yeah. 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 And so what's happening right now? Emotion, right? Yes. Right? Yes. So she was saying, guys, that sometimes if she's having a really bad day, like, he'll give her these, I'm going to use my own word, like a little gift, like there's a butterfly or something. It's like she could feel that he loves her, and that's an intimate thing. I'm telling you, he wants that. So it's really cool what Romans says about him, but I want to know how that hits home for you. And if we don't have those stories, this is why, because we're going so fast that we're actually going fast reading about him instead of knowing him. Yeah, Brandy? I guess I said your name, sorry. Yeah, so what she said there is that she saw just this week, she was talking about it in the last couple of weeks, kind of the motherly side of God. I know it might sound different than what you're, because God our Father, but God is so complete that there's this tender motherly love that he has and this strong fatherly love. And just what you said, no precursors, no prerequisites to his love. And then she showed it, you know? And that, yeah. Wow. So she said she loves that he knows her name and he'll call it out. Like when she was at youth camp last year, quite a few times. In those moments, she could just hear her name being called. Yeah. Yeah. So he said that he loves Jesus because when there he's in the worst place possible, he knows that God's there and speaking to him, even if he can't hear him. He knows that he's there. He knows that he loves him. He knows that he's present. Yeah. Yeah. So she just said that she loves because she knows that she feels content because she knows that Jesus is present. And that ties in some of the truths that you guys were saying over here. Right? Like he doesn't change. He's not thrown off when there's a pandemic or people are rioting. Whoa, yeah. He's not thrown off. He didn't stay home. He didn't isolate. He was still there. He was still present. And how I know is because I spent time with him. So this is what happened. Not like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's great, but that won't change your heart. It's true, but make that true because this was happening and now God rescued me. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off back there. Yeah. So what he said there is like sometimes he'll just be driving along and going along and he'll just, God will just show him like, I created you, I love you, I'm here, I've made this for you. So even these these little presents, right? These little gifts. So what's cool, let me tie that back in. So why we slow down? Because we want to grow in our love for Jesus. It starts with the scripture, for sure. You got to know who God is, that he's unchanging. But then you have to experience him as well, that he's unchanging. You know that God's forgiving, but you need to experience his forgiveness. You know that God's loving, but you need to experience his loving. And that doesn't happen just like I didn't learn to love Brandy. In theory, I've had to learn to love her in practice and make a choice to love her. We slow down because growing in our love for Jesus, it takes time to know and love someone. Okay, another Bible verse here. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of things I love about that one, but I think one thing, for those of you who are a little resistant right now because you think of all the things that you have to do, the busyness, Jesus didn't say here that I'll take the yoke for you and you're going to do nothing. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to do some work. But your portion because of me is going to be lighter and more attainable if we do it together. And if not, you'll just walk in the sand and dig a hole, which is what most of us are doing. Hey, yeah. We're doing that together. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It points back to this thing we keep seeing Paul say in his letters, that Jesus is the source. From him we receive all things. If we can get our thinking this way, so I'm going to pick on you a little bit here, Maddie, but a couple times now, man, I've seen you, and we have this friendship, and you've come and just given me a hug, and I know Brandy feels the same way, and it's like, yes, right? Like, it's just this encouragement. It's like this burst, I don't know, something happened. We were afterwards just like, that was awesome, right, Brandy? We were like, oh, man, like, we really needed that. Okay, let's transform our thinking here. Yes, you're awesome. That was really cool and you're loving. But I believe for a fact, because all good things come from the Father, that in you he put there, and that in there he uses to encourage other people. He's still the source even though you did it. And somebody else, you might say something derogatory, cut someone down, hurt them, and I might be mad at you for saying that, but really what Paul kept telling in the scripture is, understand, you're not just wrestling against this person here. There are spiritual things at play. Just as all the good things come from the Father, all the destructive comes from darkness and evil. So Jesus is ultimately the source of all the good things. So here's the problem. If Jesus is the source and you and I need it, all the life, all the love, all the hope, all the strength, all the patience, how can we get it if we don't slow down? Well, I've prepared a little, kind of like a little illustration here. And Brandy's agreed to help me. Why? Because it's fun. And there's a lot for me to cover, so I wanted to break that up for you. So Brandy, if you would come on up. So be thinking in terms of this idea that if Jesus is the source, not your own abilities, not your own awesomeness, but if Jesus is the source, and your job is really to receive that which he wants to give to you, there's a dynamic at play here. And I wanted to show. This is my wife, Brandy. Don't you love her? If you guys don't know her. Okay. Can I help you into the... Thank you. So we've done whipped cream, peanut butter, chocolate syrup. We've done lots of stuff here. Today, mystery liquid. So the idea is this. So Brandy is playing her or you, okay, a person that needs to receive. And what I have here is a pail. It's water. Okay, it's water. But the idea is, so go ahead and look forward real quick because I want to show them. The idea is that all that you need is there. And yes, when you receive the Lord Jesus and become one of his, you receive the Holy Spirit. So there's a source within you that gives you the power and the strength. But the Holy Spirit reports what's going on in heaven. So ultimately, even that comes from above. So what you have is from above comes all the things that you need, right? Right? And you just got to soak it in, right? Is that warm enough?
It's warm.
It's warm, yeah.
Okay. Told to make sure it's warm because it's cold.
So that's the idea. We'll do that again. So you need to receive, right? Jesus, even wisdom and knowledge isn't studying. It's from God. Do you agree? Do you believe that that's true? Okay, we're on the same page. Now, here's the problem with busyness. Now, if go ahead and start here next to me for the point of this illustration. And then simply what I'm going to have her do is move away while I'm pouring this, okay? So, and move back and forth a little bit for me. So here comes what Jesus is trying to give, right? And it starts to get her. And then pretty soon she moves and then she comes back. She comes on Sunday morning and she hears something. Then she comes another week and gets a little more, right? What I'm trying to illustrate here is if you don't slow down long enough, if you don't practice stillness, and that's why they say that you get more of God through being still. Because what you really need is to receive all the things that he has. But if you will not stop long enough, if you won't practice stillness long enough, you won't receive it. God will be pouring and you'll be doing something else. Right? So come on back. So why?
Gold star!
Why we slow down is we need to be able to hear, right? We need to be able to receive from Jesus all the life, all the love, all the peace, all the joy, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the goodness that we need, right? So it looks like this. When we practice stillness, then he gives and we receive. Go that way a little bit so you can. I want some too. There you go. Give her a hand. She's a good sport. Thank you, babe. So hopefully that's a little fun, but also I hope it helps. So this truth is, before we get too far away from that, do you believe that you need Jesus? Yeah or no? Okay. Do you believe that you need things that he has that he wants to give to you? Do you believe currently you're not getting, and the way I'm saying this, hopefully it doesn't sound like everything's easy and good, because we've just talked about suffering and how that is something you need too, okay? Do you believe you're receiving all the things that he wants to give to you right now? No. Would you consider that maybe your unwillingness to be still and to slow down might be one of the reasons why? Okay. Here's another part of this. Psalms 39, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's really a prayer. It's really to say, I know this. I know based on what the Bible says that Jesus is at work, right? We talked about that. He has a purpose. And he started it, he's doing it, and he'll bring it to completion. So between now and then, I have to be willing to let myself be worked on, right? It's like the last time they gave me the flu test. The lady said, hopefully you don't jump. Hopefully you'll stay still and receive this 2-foot Q-tip to scratch your brain. So they do that, and after that was good. I usually get punched is what she said. So this is what happens. God's trying to give us something, and we won't stay still, right? Or we punch back. And so this illustration is sometimes why we slow down is because God's up to something, right? And this prayer is saying, Lord, search me and show me what you're doing in my life. Sometimes we have to slow down so that we can know ourselves. Right? The good, the strengths, the weaknesses, maybe the areas where we're vulnerable. That we know ourselves while the Spirit is transforming us. Search me and know me and show me. Well, I don't know. That's kind of doesn't sound like Christian teaching, right? Like, know yourself. Take a personality test or whatever. It seems like something that we don't talk about in churches. But we forget this, that part of that commandment in Matthew 22. It says, in the second's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And if there's no love for yourself, you will, for a short time, treat other people kindly. If you treat yourself unkindly, if you're unsafe and unkind to yourself, for a period of time, you might treat others with kindness. But it's a fact. Eventually, the truth will come out, and you'll begin to treat other people how you treat yourself. Especially those in relationship with you day after day, like in family units. So let's look at this to kind of bring it back home. If we will not slow down long enough to hear Jesus, okay, we got to hear him, to get to know him, to make space, to care for ourselves and love our neighbors, how will we love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our thoughts, our emotions, our personality, and our creativity, growing, learning, and loving ourselves? Because after all, God created us, creating the stability and safety to be one who can really love someone else. How can we do this thing that God's asked us to do if we don't slow down long enough? So this is what I ask you, okay? There was a lot there, I know. You guys were patient. You were great. Consider the suggestion of slowing down. Would you consider it? I don't know exactly what that looks like. I'm not God. I mean, I'm not saying sell the business and live in the woods. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying God wouldn't tell you to do that. But I've been part of conversations with a lot of you who have had these types of moments with God. And sometimes, right, you have to wait to have like an injury or a surgery for this to happen, right? Right? We talked about that. Or a health concern or a tragedy to have that. We've all been given a cultural-wide opportunity here to slow down, to taste the goodness of it, to say I can hang out with my kids, to say I have time to pray, to say that I'm still enough, that I could actually enjoy a porch swing or something, right? We've tasted the goodness, and I'm telling you, we are missing some of the life with Jesus, which is available to us, because we simply won't practice stillness and slowness. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that I give this out as an offering, Lord, to try to be obedient, and I pray that it helps. As we begin to praise you in this song, let us meditate or contemplate or think on this idea that there may be a need to slow down. And in that slowness and in that stillness, we're still going to be working. There's still little league games and doctor's appointments. But maybe there's some things you're asking us to do, some practices we can put in place to have more time with you, more of you, to receive and be filled with more of your truth, of your love, of your guidance. So speak to us, Lord. What are you asking us to do? How are you working in our lives, and what is the purpose of this taste of a slower life for me? I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.